There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Touchdown, Giants!
You're listening to the Best of the Giants.
And the Giants have won!
A weekly mix of WFAN Sports Radio 101.9's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
The Phil Sim Spotlight is brought to you by Balance of Nature, whole food supplements. Oh my gosh. Visit balanceofnature.com. So the two best friends are going to be in a booth together on October 20th when we were supposed to be eating Phil Sim's meat and drinking Phil Sim's alcohol at Phil Sim's house. And we're not doing that anymore. It's going to be Jerry, Boomer, and Phil in a booth together calling Giants Eagles, which is very exciting news. Phil, good morning. How are you?
Gio, I'm doing okay. My phone systems are down, so I'm on my cell phone, so I hope it works out. And listening to you, I just thought I heard a hint of sarcasm when you said, oh, my favorite spot coming up. Yeah. Okay, I'm really excited to talk to you, too.
No, it actually is. I really do enjoy. There was no sarcasm there. There really isn't. I get excited for this every week, and every week there seems to be something new and fun to talk about. And this week it's the two of you guys being reunited in a Compass Media Networks booth on the same day that we were supposed to be enjoying watching football at your home. So I'm a little bit disappointed, quite frankly, that we're not going to be at your house and you guys are going to be calling the game. But whatever, I'll get over it.
Well, you know, a couple things. I'm disappointed, too. I could have made it work and was going to, but this came up, and then Boomer stuck his big, fat face. Now he's going to be in the booth with me. I was going to enjoy the game, maybe with Jerry and the Boomer. You know, okay, it'll be fun. We'll do it. And, Gio, if you're on the sidelines, that will be the best.
Yeah, I really would be. And I do actually have 2 full years of football. It's college football, but it was ACC. It was University of Pittsburgh. Sideline experience on the radio, working with a legend in Bill Hillgrove, who called Steelers games for about 30 years. So I'm not, I wouldn't go out. I'd take this thing seriously. I would do the job.
Oh, 100%. Right. We're all going to take it seriously. I'm just letting you know right now, I need my space in that booth.
But Boomer, trust me, nobody really wants to sit close to you, okay?
Okay.
Okay, we understand why.
As long as we understand each other.
We understand each other. And don't be talking about, oh, Phil's going to be, you know, all Giants, Giants, Giants. No, I'm not. I did the Giants-Cowboy game, and I didn't get one complaint about me favoring the Giants.
Maybe nobody listened.
Oh, finally, Boomer comes with a remark back. It's the first time ever.
Okay. All right, handsome. I'm glad you're in a good mood this morning once again.
And before we get into the football here.
Don't be so damn shocked when I'm in a good mood.
Well, it doesn't happen very often.
It's that damn balance of nature.
In a good mood.
It makes them happy.
Makes them happy is right.
It doesn't hurt. Let me tell you. Listen, Gio, you can get on it. You know what I like?
I'm waiting. Last week you told me you were sending me something. I still don't have it. So that's maybe why I'm in a curmudgeonly mood.
All right. Well, tell Al to text me your address, and I'll send you some.
Perfect. Absolutely. I will do that. Now,
he loves him some onions.
So, yeah, onions. You know, if you listen to the show, you paid attention. Boomer calls me the king of scuttlebutt because information just comes to me around the radio station and what people are doing. And I don't know why. I don't even ask for the information, but the information comes to me. And it actually extended out of this building into MetLife Stadium, where I got scuttlebutt that you were taking pictures of yourself on the wall at the facility. So if there was a picture of you up at the facility playing quarterback at a game, you were taking pictures of that picture.
No, it's just not true. Whoever told you that, the big fat liar.
So, there we go. Got a trusted source.
Hold on. There were pictures of White, Tittle, Charlie Connolly, all these people. So I said, oh, let me take some of those, whatever. And I was going to put them out. I don't think I ever did. You know, it was a good thought, but I didn't follow through with it. And my daughter was at the game. And, of course, my daughter, Deirdre, she's a wonderful daughter. Love her to death. He went around the damn stadium and took pictures of everybody wearing my jersey. I was like, Kishra.
Oh, that's great, though. That's cool.
It was great. But did you watch any of the game? Because you got like 100 of these pictures. And, you know, but oh, well. But no, I don't take pictures of myself.
Okay.
My God, Boomer. Right.
Yeah, that sounds like something I would do. I'm sure. Exactly. 100%. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yes, 100% it would be. All right, so let's just get into this now. So
let's do it.
Your Giants have got to go out to Seattle. Got to play Geno Smith, who's thrown for more yards than any quarterback in the league. He's averaging almost 300 yards passing per game. DK Metcalf, three straight games over 100 yards receiving. This is going to be a real test for this Giant defense. And I'm just wondering if you think that they can somehow corral the explosiveness of the Seahawks.
That is the big, big question. You said it. I mean, you look at their Geno Smith, first off, he's a gunslinger. That's the way to say it. He is not afraid to throw it down the field, throw it into tight spots. He can stay in the pocket, Boomer, and he can take hits. I tell you, Geno's played really well ever since he's been out there in Seattle. But I was thinking of this yesterday. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Jackson Smith and Jigma. Oh, and I got Kenneth Walker running the football. And Carbonate, the other running back, is, you know, really good too. So, man, Seattle, it'll be a tough task for the Giant defense. And I don't know what they're going to do about covering DK Metcalf because he's like a Calvin Johnson. He's big. He can run you over. He can run by you. And just watching him play looks like he is really so into it now more than ever. And that'll be a tough task for the Giants.
And the one thing I will say about Seattle, they have seen, you know, the 3-1 and the first real team with a real quarterback and a real offense that they have played against were the Lions this past weekend, Monday night. And the Lions just torched them offensively. And as we know, Jared Goff was 18 of 18. Best game ever in terms of not missing a pass for a game over 15 attempts. And he was on point, and it looked like their defense really had a hell of a time staying with him. So the real question now on the other side of the ball is, can Seattle's defense be somewhat susceptible to passing down the field? And Malik Nabers leads the league in 35 catches. He's a Giant wide receiver. Wandale Robinson's fifth on that list. Can the Giants keep up offensively with the Seattle Seahawks?
Well, that's a lot there. I'll say that. You know, Seattle, when you throw against them, I would think this, you know, and I watch teams do it. You know, if you block it up, in other words, you keep extra guys to block and you can get it down the field, you can have some success. You know, the Giants on the offense, the run that I've seen the Giants love the most is an inside run. I'm not going to get technical here, but Detroit, and I know they have a really good offensive line, they wore, you know, the Seattle defense out with those type of runs. So that gives me some hope about the Giants' run game. And then, you know, Seattle, it is like they're one of those defenses, the hair's on fire, they run around everywhere. And so, you know, screens, you know, boot passes where the quarterback fakes and goes the other way, things like that really give them trouble. And I would expect the Giants to do all this against that And then, of course, the other thing, Boomer, I don't know if you ever played out there. You, of course, you played in Seattle, probably in the Kingdom,
in
right?
In the Kingdom, yeah, not outside, yeah.
Well, they're both ridiculously loud, and I had terrible success in the Kingdom. And, then, of course, now the Giants got to deal with crowd noise, too. But let me kind of, I'll go back to this with the Giants. Last week, you know, I was there doing the game, and when I watched the game again during the week, I went, Daniel Jones didn't play well. He played really well. He moved around, got time, made the throws, some power throws. Did he miss a couple of deep ones? Yes. You know, I can see why he did it when I watched it. But overall, his accuracy, power throwing the ball, and buying time. That's what he did. He bought time to get guys open and made a lot of good throws. So I didn't look at that game and go, wow, Daniel Jones has got to play better. I see a lot of other problems, you know, that are probably with the team, and it's not always just the quarterback.
All right, Boomer and Geo with Phil Simms on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It was a brutal game to watch on Sunday between the Jets and the Broncos. I know the weather was a factor, but just rough. Why was the Jets' passing game so poor on Sunday?
Well, I think the first thing is that the Denver defense is, I kind of warned everybody last week talking about it. They're fast, they're aggressive. Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator, there's not a down that he doesn't like to blitz on. So that's the biggest thing. And they got a secondary that can cover. They were all over the Jets. I mean, the Jets had about 30 chances to win the game, that's for sure. But the Denver defense is very fast. The week before, they played Baker Mayfield, who was hot as could be, and they sacked him 7 times. And I think after you watch the game and you saw Denver's defense, that you understand why. And in big moments, they decided they were just going to charge the Jets' offense, sack Aaron Rodgers, make him hurry the throws. And once again, the coverage was really good, and all the false starts that you saw in the game. And somebody says, why do you think they had all those? Because those linemen were putting their hands on the ground going, what the hell's coming next? And you know, it rattled the offensive line, I think, all the pressure, the blitzes and things like that. And it, of course, Denver found a way to win the game, and just with an awful, awful offense display against the Jets.
Yeah, I'll tell you, pre-snap penalties killed the Jets, too, and the whole snap count fiasco and all this other stuff. And you and I
You know, Boomer, what's it going to be like out in Seattle this week?
Well, it's going to be tough for the Giants, but you know, with the Jets playing against Minnesota in London, it's a different story. Yeah. But you know, the story was Rob Saleh talking about the snap count right after the game, and then changing the tune the next day. And we all know that's a part of Aaron's repertoire is his snap count. Don't be messing with that, especially when you're a defensive head coach. Don't tell me the quarterback who's 40 years old how the hell to do the snap count. I'll handle that. So you just worry about the defense. That's kind of the vibe I was getting from the Jets earlier in the week. You know, the other thing, too, we talked about this team early on. So I give Gio credit because he said that Sam Darnold was going to have a comeback year. You said you loved the signing of Sam Darnold just because of Kevin O'Connell and how Kevin O'Connell was going to open it up for Sam Darnold once J.J. McCarthy got hurt. Gio says Kevin O'Connell is a coddling type of a coach. Do you agree with Gio's assessment of Kevin as a head coach?
100%. He is that kind of guy. And, you know, he supports the quarterback. Listen, first and foremost, they got a great receiving core. They got speed in the backfield. They got a pass-blocking offensive line. And Sam Darnold is throwing it really well. Same thing I kind of said about Gio is the same. He's aggressive. They throw it down the field. They're fun to watch. And the other thing is, every time I watch them, I go, why are more teams copying kind of what they're doing when they play these games? But, you know, that's a different thing. But, yeah, Sam Darnold's doing great. Kevin O'Connell, that's a great way to say it. How do you say that? He's a
coddle guy.
Coddle, a quarterback. Yeah.
No matter what they do,
he comes off the field and Kevin O'Connell's all over him. And, you know, it's always good. He's one of those guys. He's always positive. And Sam Darnold's really playing well. And the big thing about that for the Jets, you've got to deal with that offense. And then you got to deal with the defense by Minnesota, Brian Flores. He does everything. You know, they give up a lot of plays. You know, the pass game, people are throwing the ball on them. But when it comes down to big moments, they're going to blitz you. And their blitzing is phenomenal. And that's how they're winning games with their defense and, of course, the offense. But that's something in a tough week going over to London and now dealing with that defense and all the blitzes they run. Boomer, they're running blitzes I've never seen. I'm serious. Ever. It's so clever. And I just think, when are they going to run out of ideas on that side? But
wow, man, I'll tell you, you're 30 years older than Aaron Rodgers, so maybe he's going to see something he's never seen before either.
Well, yeah. I think there is true. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you're right. You guys talk about, everybody does. This is his offense, and so much about it. The snap counts, look, I go to the training camp and their practices. He's always working the snap count. Everybody's used to it. So I would think last week was a little bit of an outlier. And, you know, the receivers, you got to get on. It's got to have, the, you know, you got to figure out what's in Aaron Rodgers' head. Back shoulders, throwing it front, whatever. And they still don't have a great feel for that with all the practice. And I know they work on it. And Aaron Rodgers, his biggest thing, he wants to throw it down the sideline, lead you down if you're beating your guy. But he loves throwing back shoulder throws. And, you know, I expected so far this year to see more of them that are completed and not, and it's incomplete. The receiver looks at Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers is looking at them. So, you know, they got to keep working on it because it's a big part of their offense.
Yeah, they're not on the same page. When do you think Devontae Adams is going to be in Florham Park? That will be next week.
Well, you know, after watching the receiver, whatever they call that, Peyton Manning Productions last year and seeing Devontae Adams part of it, I went, oh my gosh, he's going to be somewhere else next year. So it's just a matter of time, it looks like, I would think. I heard you talking about it. I think you're right. I think everybody saw this coming. And I honestly, I was kind of surprised it didn't happen maybe in training camp or before it went this far. But, you know, so we'll see.
Yeah, not everybody saw it coming. Just one of us saw it coming. The other thing, too, I want to ask you about is about Garrett Wilson. And, you know, he made a comment yesterday. I don't know how you take it. I kind of take it as I watch football on Sundays. A lot of teams doing a lot of different things. We don't do a lot of those things. We do things, but we don't do a lot of things.
Well, he's right. That comment is true. I don't know if I'd go out and say that to the press. And you, when you're saying that, it's basically like, I need more things to do, and you got to get me the football more. That's what I see in that comment. When you say that, you know, you're just bringing up, you know, some more trouble with your football team. And so, yeah, they, of course, got to get on the same page, and they all want more catches. And I know the receivers, you're sitting there in the meetings and you see other teams throwing the ball down the field, everybody making these big catches where they're wide open. Oh my gosh. You see, when you watch these top offenses, they get guys wide open deep down the field. The Jets have really not done that. And the last thing I'd say about the Jets, just before I forget, they got this guy in the backfield, Braylon Allen. Give him the ball more. Man, just, you know.
Yeah, but Breece Hall is supposed to be like the second coming of Le'Veon Bell. I mean, Breece Hall was supposedly this, you know, all pro best young running back in the league and had a terrible game last week. I mean, I don't know what he was doing last week, but it was an awful game. And very rarely is it so obvious how awful the game was. I wanted to ask you about one play. One play in last week's game was 4th and 10, and Aaron gets caught on a corner blitz with nobody blocking him.
From the left.
Yeah, from the left. And look, they had 7 guys up at the line of scrimmage. Breece Hall looked like he was going into one of the A-gaps. One of the guys dropped out, and I don't know if he was responsible for the corner coming off the back, but Aaron looked like he thought he was going to be blocked. And I'm wondering whether or not that was just a problem with the offensive scheme, or was it Aaron caught off guard, or was it Breece Hall doing the wrong thing?
I you know, it was hard to tell. I would say, if I had to guess, it was just a problem with the scheme. And that would be my first thought. When I saw it, I go, okay, I try to figure it out, who's got who, but it was, everybody was going right. So I just think it was a problem with the scheme. But think of it this way. The Jets had problems with the Denver Broncos and the blitz. So what do you think this game is going to be about this week with Minnesota? So you know how that is. And, Gio, when you play a blitzing team, it makes you fear because you can get embarrassed by not blocking people, not seeing it, not doing the right things, the receiver changes route, all that. So man, this is going to be a rough and tough game for sure for the Jets, and their offense has just got to play better.
Is Rob Saleh a good head coach?
Is he a good head coach? Well, you know, the old saying is, you are what your record says you are. So,
So then the answer is no.
What's that?
Then the answer is no.
Well, you know, I'm not the good guy to ask that to, because I played for, you know, guys that were loud, rough, and, you know, always, and, you know, Robert Saleh is the opposite, man. I'd hate to play poker against him, because he doesn't even change his facial expressions during the game. He just stands there and walks around and whatever. So, you know, many things about being a head coach. You can only be who you are. You can't create a personality that fits maybe what people think you should be. So he's doing it his way, and his way is not, it's not working great right now. So it's okay to go in and challenge the football team and call people out. My gosh. And you know, you can't be, once you do that and do it enough, the team gets used to it and they can take it, you know? So if you do it every once in a while, I don't know. To me, that doesn't work. You got to be consistent in the way you treat the players and team. And we'll see where it goes with Robert Saleh.
Phil, great talking to you as always. We will talk to you next week, and very, very excited for the Jerry Recco, Boomer Esiason, and Phil Sims booth. It might be once in a lifetime, but once in a lifetime is probably too much. So excited for that. We will. We'll see you next time.
One of us could get thrown out of the booth.
Well, wait. So, Gio, you know, listen, the coming here and watching games, that I do want to. I was going to fix it where we could have done that. But then I got this opportunity, and of course, then Boomer butted in and did it too. So he's going to be there. So we'll live with that.
Well, by the way, I did not butt in. I got asked yesterday morning by Jerry Recco if I would do it, and I said, "Yeah, I think I could do it," because that was the day we were supposed to go to Phil Sims's house, and then Rosner sends us an email and says, "You're busy with the Giants." He never said to me anything about you doing any calling of games.
So well, I didn't realize I stuck to the, you know, doing something to the Giants, but I could have got out of it. So I was going to do that.
Well, how am I supposed to know that? I didn't know that.
Well, hell, I didn't know it either until just a couple days ago. So,
well, that's what I'm saying. So don't sit here and tell me that I butt in, because I didn't butt in.
Well, Boomer, come on. They all know how you are. So yeah, we know you.
All right. Yeah.
Any other questions? Because Boomer just takes the whole segment. He never lets you talk.
No, it's fine. Like I told you, you just spill something over there. You're right.
No.
Yeah. I told you. What happens is I let him have this moment, and then 9 o'clock he puts his feet up, and then I take us to 10. All right. We'll see you next week. All right.
Have me on. All right. Don't forget. Do it for Phil.
Phil. Promo code Phil. Sims Spotlight brought to you by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Jermaine Illuminor, of course, tackle for the Giants. Jermaine, we didn't have a chance to have you on last week after the win. So, of course, two games have passed since we've last had you on. I do, though, want to start with your former team. There's some news about Devontae Adams potentially being traded. What was Adams like? What was going on with him and the Raiders with your time there with Las Vegas?
Yeah, you know, Tay's my guy. Obviously, he's one of the best in the league. I'm not sure what's entirely going on over there, but I know that he truly cares about winning and he loves to win and he puts everything into this game and he damn near wears his heart on his shoulder or on his sleeve, as they say. So, you know, I know how he feels about winning and how much he puts into this and how much time and effort he puts into this game. So I don't, like I said, I don't know about the whole trade thing, but, you know, I know that he just goes out there and he wants to play ball as hard as he can and he loves the game.
You think he was happy there?
Yeah, he is.
You think he was happy there?
Yeah, I mean, what my time there, you know, while I mean, when AP took over, he was definitely happy. I mean, we all were happy when AP took when AP was running things. You know, that was a hell of a time, and you know, I would obviously play my best ball when AP took over, and I know that a lot of the guys there, or all the guys there, love AP, and he's doing a hell of a job there right now. They have him at 500, and all of them are going to run through a brick wall for him, and I have nothing but respect and love for AP. So I don't know what's going on with that relationship. I can't really comment on that too much. I can just say that when I was there, everything was smooth sailing, and we all went out there trying to win every single game for him. And we almost won every single game that he took over, you know, for if it wasn't for little things here and there. We went 5-4 his nine games, but easily could have went 9-0, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right, so from Adams to who's an established superstar to a blossoming superstar, your teammate Malik Nabers, how's, you know, obviously I know you want to stay in your lane, but how is he feeling? What do you know about Nabers so far?
So I actually don't know nothing, but I just know the type of guy he is, and you know, if he can play on Sunday, then he's definitely going to try to play.
Well, let me ask you this, Jermaine. What was different about him when he showed up? You've been in the league for a little bit. You understand, you know, talent and like everybody's talented, but like that real separation of talent. What jumped out initially when you first started seeing Malik Nabers on the practice field?
I think just his poise. He's far above his age, and he's beyond the years that he's played, in my opinion, meaning that he doesn't act like a rookie. He doesn't present himself like a rookie, and he doesn't walk around like he's a rookie. He acts and he plays like a seasoned vet, and he plays like one of the best receivers in the league. And you know, I tell him that every single day during games. Like, you know, it's hard to be consistent in the NFL, but if you can find a way to be consistent, you can be great. And you know, that's something I try to do every single day too. And really, just speaking from my own experiences around great players and the player I'm trying to be too, just give him knowledge and help him in as many ways as I can. But he's been a great player for us. Obviously, he's the main player on offense. And like I said on X the other day, like I truly think he's one of the best receivers in the NFL.
Jermaine, I was at the game Thursday night. You guys were in it almost the entire way. Take me through what happened in the huddle or on the field, fourth and goal from the 3-yard line in the third quarter, and Dable decided to kick a field goal.
Yeah, you know, we had a play design on that third down. If it would have hit, then it would have been a touchdown. But that's the NFL. You know, it's a game of inches, and you can have the correct play call. But if the defense just makes a great play, you can't really do anything about that. And the Cowboys have a really good jump linebacker. I think his name's Overshadon, something like that. That kid from Texas. He's a pretty good player, and he's a freaking ball hawk, and he's pretty damn athletic. So he made a hell of a play. If not, then Wondell would have walked in. So on third down and fourth down, obviously a tight game like that, you don't want to risk anything. You want the points. You know, obviously if we would have went for it, then who knows what would happen. But I can't talk like that or think like that. I just got to do what Dave wants to do. And like I said before, I follow him and I'll run through a brick wall for Dave. So.
Yeah, obviously, you've got to run the play that's called there. But I would imagine in the huddle, and I don't want to speak for you, but in the huddle, kind of looking around saying, let's go get a couple of yards here. Let's go eat. Wouldn't you want the coach to say, let's go get a touchdown?
Yeah, but the thing is, with tight games like that, just say you don't get a touchdown, the Cowboys have all the momentum, they get the ball back, drive down the field, score a touchdown, then it's a, what was the score at that point? 14-9 or something
yeah.
like that?
14-9, yeah, it would have made it 14-9.
So the field goal made it 14-12. Yeah, so, you yep. guys didn't fight back exactly. at all on that?
No, I mean, typically, just my experience, when coaches make a decision like that, you just really go for it. I mean, sometimes you have guys in the huddle saying, let's go for this, and sometimes the coach will listen to it. But I think usually if guys are vocal about it, because sometimes the coach will just go for it, depending on how the game's going. But at that point, it was probably safer just to get the three, let the defense get a stop, get us back on the field, and then drive down the field again and get a touchdown, because we were driving the ball up and down the field on them. We really stuffed ourselves in that game.
And what's the issue? Why can't you guys put the ball in the end zone?
You know what? Just little things, honestly, like little plays that we need to execute better. Obviously, I can be better in certain aspects of the run game. You know, we all can. There's little things that each of us on the offensive line can be better at that we're going to work on this week. And having this little time off helped us just reflect on that. And it's only a quarter of the NFL season that's gone by. We still have 13 more games, so I'm really excited to, you know, get this Seattle game underway and do everything we need to do to get out there with a win.
Yeah, you know, listen, the wins, that's what matters, but so does progress here. And we're talking to Jermaine Illuminor, of course, Giants beat team sound on the fan. You know, last year when you were with the Raiders, the first couple of games were just really ugly. 40-0 Dallas, the Niners game was not pretty. Outside of the Vikings game, week one, you guys have been very competitive, and there's been a lot that you can pull from each game positively. But, like, well, that's got to expire soon. It's time to start bagging wins. So after the first month of the season, where are the Giants? You're a smart guy. You know the team. Give us your synopsis of the team so far overall.
Yeah, I think that obviously we've made progress. But like you said, the only thing that matters at the end of the day are wins. And it doesn't matter if you win by a freaking 50 or you win by one. Like, at the end of the day, all that matters is winning. And that's what we truly care about. So, I mean, yeah, has it been progress? You know, they get blown out by the Cowboys like apparently they did last year. I don't really care about that. I want to win, and so does everyone else. So progress will come when we're winning games, which we will.
Did you guys, Jermaine, watch Monday Night Football last night with the Seahawks?
Yeah, I watched that game. Yeah, because we played them, so I wanted to kind of, you know, get a little pre-read on them to see what they're about and how their defense flies around the ball and just what type of team they are.
You think you guys can keep pace with that offense? I mean, it looked like they couldn't be stopped. I know they lost the game, but can you keep pace with that offense?
Yes, I definitely think so. I'm really confident in my guys. And like I said, we all want to win. I'm not going to sit here and not be confident. I mean, you guys have spoken to me for 5 weeks, and I think if there's one thing you know about me is that I'm the most confident guy in the room.
You are. We appreciate that.
We
like that.
And by the way, you've been good, too. You're a good player for this team on a much improved offensive line. So,
yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, like I said, I was really looking forward to talking to you last week. We couldn't because of your schedule change, but I would have liked to talk to you after the win. So I don't want to be overly negative here, but at some point, you got to be judged based on the record, and the record not very good through 4 weeks.
No, 100%. We're 1-3. I mean, you know, if things go our way in certain games, and maybe the record is different, but kind of things like that, you just got to think how we are, like what's going on right now and what we need to improve on. And this week's going to be key for us, improving those little things in practice tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, fly to Seattle on Saturday, and, you know, play a heck of a game.
How do you simulate the environment that Seattle? That's a tough spot to play, obviously. How do you simulate that?
Yeah. I mean, I've played there twice now. Well, once was during COVID, so obviously that was nothing, but we played there 2 years ago, and I love playing environments like that. There's nothing better than going to an away team where it's one of the best environments in the NFL and just going there and playing ball. You know, I know a lot of guys probably don't like being in crowds like that, but I think that, you know, if you love football and you love, you know, going to war as offensive lineman, that you love playing in places like that where it's loud as hell, you can't hear yourself think, you know, your head's rattling, you can't see this person next to you talking, all you can hear is just the crowd booing you, saying things, the noises is freaking out of this world. That gets me excited as hell. I don't know about y'all, but I freaking love that type of environment. You go in there, you know, you can walk out there with a W, that says a lot about you as a team and about the individual as a person. So, you know, like I said, it's definitely going to be a war this weekend, and it's going to be a fun one.
And you know our deal, Jermaine. I don't want to hear 72 being called for a false start. Going to be challenging in Seattle. Keep it clean. You've been doing a good job. Let's keep it clean on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I need to be better with the penalties. Obviously, the holding call going against Micah. I can think what I want to think about that. But I need to be better with that, which I will. But like I said, I feel like I'm pretty good with the silent count now. So
yeah, that happens. Hey, that happens. Holding, you're going to have some penalties, but in this crowd going nuts, the false starts are what could set you guys back and derail the offense. We don't want any of that. At least if you do get it, I don't want to hear from 72. I don't want to see 72 be called.
Hey, I'm going to try my best out there. That's one thing.
Good luck, Jermaine. Good luck on Sunday. Hopefully we talk to you next Tuesday coming off a big win in Seattle.
That is the plan. That is the freaking plan.
Thanks, buddy. There you go. I love Xander.
Me too. We got to get him in studio one of these weeks, or at least go out there. I was going to go out there Thursday and it'd be in the post-game locker room afterward, but they were losing. Yeah. Didn't want to deal with that, and it would have been a long night anyway. But he seems like a great dude.
I bet he's a great teammate.
Yeah.
Like, that's an authentic guy right there. He's a foxhole dude. I know that sounds cliche, but he definitely is.
But those things, I know we harp on it. We kind of joke about him with the false starts. First of all, the Giants offense is just not good enough to overcome that. Very few are. We saw it kill the Jets on Sunday, but on the road in that environment, that's where it takes extreme discipline.
Yeah.
That's the difference. One false start is the difference in having a successful drive or a poor drive. Giants have been able to drive the football pretty well this year.
Mm-hmm.
Need to be able to finish. And to beat Seattle, they're going to have to drive the football and finish.
Well, you mentioned the Jets with the penalties. Yeah. The Broncos couldn't score if you spotted them 7 yards on a first down. The Seattle can. So, yeah, I mean, John's going to have to be really buttoned up. What's the spread, by the way? Did you see it? It was 3.5, 4?
I did not.
If I had a guess.
I actually looked at the Jets when I pulled it up here real quick.
I don't even know what the Jets spread is. What is it?
Well, take a guess, because I have that.
Yeah, pull them both up. I'm going to say our neutral site. I'm going to say...
All right, I got it.
Minnesota by 1.5.
2.5.
All right, 2.5 Minnesota.
We got the Giants here.
I'm going to say that it's Seattle by 4.
6.
6?
Yeah.
It's a big number.
I mean, it seems pretty.
It's a big number.
Look what they did last night, Seattle.
Yeah, true.
Even in the loss, you couldn't stop. Detroit couldn't stop them.
It's a big number.
It is a big. Well, you take the Giants plus 6 in it.
I wouldn't take that feeling good. No, I wouldn't.
This is a tough spot, I think. This is a tough spot. This will show you something with the Giants. Can they keep this close? Now, again, not about keeping close. Got to get a win.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, last year was just such an eyesore. They were just so non-competitive to start. And, you know, this year they're 1-3, and they're definitely much more competitive. Outside of the Vikings game, they've been every game, but you're still 1-3, and, you know, tracking 1-4.
That's what I'm saying.
Close losses don't cut it after a while.
We'd love to be positive with them. Seems like a positive, fun guy. We missed our opportunity off of the one win because of the schedule. It's not our fault.
No, we were here.
Hopefully we talk to him Tuesday coming off a big win for the Giants, which maybe then again can shift the momentum of this season. We come back, we'll finish up on the phones talking about the Mets. Big win yesterday. Game time in just a few hours. Cannot wait. Game 1, Mets Brewers wild card round. Your calls on the other side. BT and Sal on the Fan. Right now, we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. Baldy, it is postseason with Major League Baseball. Are you caught up in the fever, or are you just still locked in on filming, on watching all that film?
Oh, I love baseball. I love October baseball. Are you kidding me? What the Mets did yesterday, the Yankees getting ready. Like, I'm going to be tuned in, but in between breaking down every game here this week here. So, I'm dialed in. What Lindor did yesterday was simply amazing. Great player. So I'm happy for the Mets right now.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're a Mets fan. You're a Long Island kid. Were you a Mets fan growing up?
Yeah. You know, you got to make that choice early in life.
Yeah.
You know? Like Mets or Yankees, you know, Shea Stadium was, it felt like it was in my backyard. I mean, I was 86 Mets. I had my rally cap on now.
Nice.
You know, like I was all about it.
All right, man. Well, listen, let's jump into the football stuff. And, you know, this seems to be an early pivot point here for Aaron Rodgers and this Jets offense. First of all, what do you make of the whole cadence issue with Rodgers and Robert Saleh?
Well, all of those false starts were on third downs, okay? So, you know, you're down on the one-yard line. You're it's fourth and one. You're going for it, and your left guard jumps. You know, Breece Hall, like, why is the running back? Why is the running back jumping on a hard count? Like, okay, every once in a while, Tyron Smith, all right, your left tackle, you know, you might flinch. But you, your running back can't do it, and you certainly can't do it on the one when it's your only chance to really score a touchdown all day. Like, I don't know. Like, something's not, like, you know, the quarterback always reminds him, hard count here. And we used to say, like, you know, you got to hold your water, right? That was the football phrase. Hold your water. Hold your water. Like, how in the world are you jumping down there? You're trying to get them to jump. Five times, it's just flawed. It's just a flawed process right now.
Well, didn't you think it was pretty telling? Because in the postgame press conference, you know, he was asked about maybe dialing down the cadence. And he said, well, you can also hold guys accountable. I mean, that's a pretty direct shot at the coach.
It is. It totally is. A lot of things have to be looked at the coach here. Like, and that for sure is one of them. Like, you work on this stuff. You talk about it. You practice it. You have to get it enforced from the top down. This is a part of our offense. We're going to get these guys to jump. We're going to get 39. It's going to be 3rd and 4. We're going to get them to jump. It's Aaron Rodgers. That's what he does. Like, I don't know. I think it's a direct shot because the last thing Aaron Rodgers wants to do is take away from some of his strengths. He's already struggling enough in the passing game with guys not being where they're supposed to be. Like, at least in a game where, you know, a field goal decides it, you know, those 5-yard penalties, and there was 5 of them, false starts, 5. I don't know if I've seen anything like that this year. Like, I think that's a direct shot to the coach.
Can this team, Boldy, win in spite of their head coach?
Well, everything starts there, you know. I don't know if they have enough leadership, you know, enough talent to do it. Your coach has to put you in positions, has to make some strong decisions. He's not calling plays. Jeff Ulbrich is, you know, like Nathaniel Hackett is. Like, he's got to be, I don't know, like sometimes I just want to see a coach when a guy jumps off sides on the 1-yard line. I wouldn't mind seeing Rex Ryan jump in a guy's face. Like, this can never, like, I just think you have to, like, get in guys' faces. You have to let them know on the sidelines, whether it's a Bill Parcells glare, a Rex Ryan, like, bump in the chest. Like, you can't let this stuff just slide right now.
Yeah. Well, Boldy, here's the biggest issue. It's on Brian Boldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider, BT and Sound on the Fan. The biggest issue is that if Saleh starts to do that, it's not really authentic to who he's been so far. You, like, once you establish who you are, how do you change who you are?
Well, that's a fair point, and I don't disagree with that. You know, he doesn't look like he's, you know, real hands-on. Maybe things get said, you know, in the locker room and in practice and things like that, but game day is when it's all about, I know you got to control some emotions and things like that, but to lose that game like that on Sunday, like, you can't just sit and watch that, to me. Like, there has to be some level of reaction from your coach that things have to get fixed in real time, and they're not. And it's disturbing to any Jet fan. Like, forget about what I say or what you say. I mean, Jet fans are looking at the same thing, going, why is this stuff still going on here, you know, in week 4 of this league right now?
And then, how's it going to get fixed? Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. I mean, I know we're only 4 weeks in, Boldy, but the Jets' schedule does not get any easier moving forward here. Is this team maybe not what many expected them to be? What are you looking at this team's ceiling right now?
Well, I mean, we just turned the page to October. I mean, September's the new August. If they get the issues in the passing game fixed, that would help. But they're not, you know, to see Breece Hall struggle like he's struggling, that's not supposed to happen. He's not. I mean, you brought in 3 new offensive linemen. You drafted one in the first round. I know Denver's got a good defense, but no running back should go 10 carries and gain 4 yards. And he doesn't look like he has any idea where the hole is, if there is a hole. Like, he's tripping on his feet behind the line of scrimmage. He looks terrible. This is supposed to be the strength of your team. Braylon Allen looks like a better answer. So, to answer your question, this time they play a very, very sound Minnesota team that's very well coached on both sides of the ball. They, you know, this is, you know, I'm sure Sam Darnold's fired up about all this, you know. But, you know, he'll block all that out. But this, you can go to London this week, and if they leave Thursday night, they get there Friday morning, if somehow they get C.J. Mosley back and they run the ball against this Minnesota team, which is very good defensively, and they win a game, you know, it's a week-to-week league. You can get right back to where you think you should be. with a win against a very sound football team right now.
Yeah, I did want to ask you one thing about Sam before we get to the Giants in Seattle as well. It's over to Baldy here, BT and Sal. So have you seen Sam Darnold just clean a bunch of stuff up, or is he thriving because of the concepts? Why is he playing so well?
It's actually coaching by Kevin O'Connell. But I think he got a taste of it in San Francisco last year, watching Brock Purdy play and watching Kyle Shanahan, that organization, game plan week to week to week, and the talent they had. He comes to Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell, comes from the same system. He's got elite. He's got a very good offensive line, an elite running back, the best receiver in football, and they game plan like crazy. And the defense has been outstanding. So, I mean, Sam is sort of a product of everything around him, but I don't want to take anything away from Sam. He's making one good throw, one good read, one good decision after another, and he's played four excellent games in a row right now.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking about Brian Baldinger, as we do every Tuesday at 12:40. Giants lost a tough one Thursday night against the Cowboys. You want to rehash that before we move ahead here, Baldy, to the Seahawks game with the Giants. What'd you think of the Giants? They coming up short kicking field goals all night long Thursday against Dallas.
Well, look, I mean, they took four deep shots in the game. They came up 0-for-4. We know which ones they were. Even the opening series of the game, Malik Nabers has double-moved a corner, Andrew Booth. Well, look, he's a practice squad player. Like, it's a home run. The safety is on the other side of the field. And Daniel, like, he underthrows him. He's got to stop to turn around and catch it. And it's 31-yard gain. You'll take it. But that should be a touchdown. We saw Jameson Williams go 70 last night. You hit a guy like that in stride, he's going to score. You know, and then you get Slayton, you know, down the field off, you know, the defense is offsides. It's a free play. And you underthrow the ball. Like one of those four deep shots, if you connect on any of the four, the Giants probably win that game. Now, he completed a lot of, you know, a lot, high percentage of throws. You know, he got the ball out of his hands. The offensive line pass protected very well against Micah Parsons. That wasn't an issue, and it has been in the past. But you got it. You got to hit those deep shots in this business right now. Those are chances to, you know, to make it a different game. And I thought that's on DJ right there. He's got to hit one of those four that he missed.
Yeah. It's really hard to get a sense of who the Giants are, because I think all their opponents are a little off from what we thought they would be. Minnesota's better than we thought that they would be, so are the Commanders. You know, Browns are worse, Dallas a little worse. Like, you know, four games on film, can the Giants string something together and, you know, rip off some wins and hang around, or is this just kind of another season going nowhere? Early read, but what's your early read on that?
Well, I think this is going to be a big test in Seattle. They're coming off a short week where they didn't play well defensively at all. Jared Goff went 18 for 18 in that game. They couldn't stop them. They gave up six touchdowns. And they hadn't seen anything like that. Now, they're not a complete team by any stretch, but they can flat out score. You're going to have your hands full defensively against Geno Smith and those two backs and the receivers. So that's going to be a challenge for the secondary. Because DK can beat anybody in this league. And Jackson Smith and Jigba and Tyler Lockett, they're good. But defensively, you know, they've got some question marks now. I mean, you got to run the ball against them. You got to shorten the game. You can't turn the ball over against them. You got to handle the atmosphere. A lot of the stadium in the league.
Let's try to fix that here, guys. A little issue with the connection there.
Yeah, you can let Baldy if we were almost done anyway. It's a bad line there. I don't know what the heck was going on with that. Maybe Hoff trying to clean that up. The only other thing I was going to ask him is what, and I'd be curious to get his take, if he is on the line, if not, we'll just get him next week, what he thinks is the number one thing that is holding the Giants back from being a team that can legitimately compete with, let's say, Seattle this week. Is it the play of the quarterback, or is it the lack of talent on the roster? We've discussed that many different times, but with Baldy obviously being the expert that he is, you know, we'll get an answer for that as we go on here. But either way, it's going to be how many must-win games can we have for the Giants? They need to respond. They got to, if they want to have any kind of season, BT, you got to be able to win this game against Seattle. I just don't think they have the firepower to do it.
It's a tough ask, you know, but his point, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I always get the impression, if you were to ask him the question that you just posed to me, I think it's probably, you know, if Jones can connect on a couple of downfield throws, it changes everything
for him. But that's kind of the point. It is on the quarterback. Yep. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. That was Odyssey NFL Insider. Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. We'll take a quick break, come back, more of your calls on the Mets and the celebration yesterday, and of course, looking ahead tonight, playoffs, wild card series, game one in Milwaukee.
Seattle Seahawks, like you mentioned, they got Bo Nix in his first start, beat him. Had to play down to the wire there with the Seattle Seahawks in week two, with the Patriots in week two, beat him. I have to look back up who they beat in week three, but I'm pretty sure it was a doo-doo game. Either way, and then they get to Monday night, and you kind of see some of their flaws exposed. Now, they can go sling it. The Lions secondary, obviously, is a little bit of a question mark. Oh, that's right. The Seahawks beat the Dolphins with Skylar Thompson and company and killed them. So it has been a little start. But Seattle's stock full of injuries, too. They did not have Leonard Williams, who we know, our old friend, big run stuffer on Monday night. They didn't have their other defensive tackle. They obviously got Julian Love banged up, another old friend. So their defense has a lot of guys who would have been listed as limited. They're on a short week healing-wise. The Giants could catch a break defensively there. But here's my worry here in this Week 5 preview. We talked about Devin Singletary and his groin issue. Will he play? Won't he play? Then it will come down to probably an Eric Gray and a Tyrone Tracy. I think Eric Gray will get a couple more looks than you think, more so than Tracy in this game. But with no Malik Nabers, the Giants are going to go back to doing what they did with Saquon Barkley, only without Saquon Barkley, and that is face a lot of stacked boxes. If you're the Seattle Seahawks, why wouldn't you just load up the box and go try to run the ball? Because the Giants, obviously, that should be their game plan, right? Try to establish the run, control time of possession, that kind of deal. But I don't know if that's going to be available to them in this kind of game, which is going to lead to, can Daniel Jones complete some of these freaking throws to Jalen Hyatt? Will see the field, obviously. Yeah. Darius Slayton will have that elevated role. Can he not drop a big pass? And Wandell Robinson's going to eat. Daniel Jones has executed the short game well. They might need a lot of that. But Seattle basically toyed with his head last year and kind of played him into turnovers. Yep. I hate to say it again, but here we are in week five. Start going around the carousel. Daniel Jones, you're not going to have your best receiver. You will have the pass protection. I believe you will. Can you get these three guys involved enough that you can both control time of possession and get some touchdowns?
Well, Sean, we discussed this last week, and I think the stat is correct. 2 for 14, Daniel Jones is on balls thrown over 20 yards. If the Giants want any chance to win this game, and as you mentioned, I fully agree with the sentiment, the idea that the Seahawks are going to stack the box against this Giants team who's missing its biggest playmaker, and it's arguably its biggest playmaker in 7-8 years.
Right.
The Giants are going to need to complete deep balls. Like, if the Giants want any chance to open up the defense and you know, to exploit the lack of personnel that the Seahawks have on defense, they're going to need to complete some deep balls. Like, it can't, this trend cannot continue. This 2 for 14 trend cannot continue. No. Daniel Jones is going to have to take 5-6 shots down the field in this game. He's going to have to complete 2 or 3 of them, Sean, if the Giants want to keep the ball moving on offense.
You know what? And him and Jalen Hyatt, if I was them, I'd be working overtime this weekend. Jalen Hyatt, you have no choice but to not have your ass pinned on the bench. And Daniel Jones, you got no choice but to try to create a couple big plays here.
Exactly.
There were a couple quotes from Daniel Jones. Basically, he doesn't love the idea that his deep balls are being questioned. He said he's come up short a couple, and then, you know, he overshot a couple early in the air, and then he came up short last week, and it's all about finding that. Look, he's trying to say the right things.
He doesn't look right
with our eyes. He doesn't look right on the deep ball.
He doesn't.
Now, what he's saying in theory makes sense, but that doesn't translate to, oh yeah, no, but that means now we'll find the middle ground and you'll get it fixed. Again,
doesn't look right.
Unless you're out there working on it every single day, and I'm sure he is, but I'm talking about overtime to make sure this connects. I'm really worried about it. And Jalen Hyatt stepping up for Malik Nabers, I'm really worried about that too, because unfortunately right now he is a one-trick pony.
Sean, can he throw the ball over 50 yards? Like, have we seen that this year? Every throw deep has been short single time.
To be fair,
Early in the year,
he did throw a couple north of 50. He did, but the problem was he way then overshot it, so he doesn't have the touch either.
Yeah,
I'm not sure he could even throw deep consistently, but he doesn't have the touch on it either. It feels like he's doing what we would do in the streets, right, with our friends, where you just drop back and dump a ball as long as you can. Yeah. And yeah, maybe you hit 50, you know, yards down the field. But if you don't have the right touch and the right ball placement on it, so it just hasn't been good. So
all those throws in the Cowboys game were short. So I don't know. He's got to figure it out.
it is what it is, right? We're going to beat the dead horse in the Daniel Jones thing. The one thing he's done well is execute the short game, but I am worried without Malik Nabers. How could you not be? How could you not be? Maybe we're pleasantly surprised, and again, we could punt on all this analysis, but how could you not be? Defensively, look, Seattle is a bear offensively for us to handle. And if it's Noah Dory Jackson and Drew Phillips, we'll wait on those guys again. You're talking about Nick McLeod's going to have to handle probably a Lockett. Njigba has not been great. But DK Metcalf is an absolute beast. Is Tay Banks just going to be absolutely cooked in this game left and right? Good chance. Seattle's pass protection has not been awesome outside of Charles Cross. So that is something where, again, Dexie, Burns, and Thibodeau are going to have to get to Geno Smith and panic him a little bit into some of these spots. This is a game I really wish we had a Dory Jackson if he could step up a play. I really do, because I think he would make a big difference. And also, I don't forget the Giants last week defensively versus Dallas, versus a team that had trouble running the ball all year, still gave up too many, especially at the end of the game, big enough runs, like not game-breaking runs, like drive-extending runs that killed them. Cleveland was on the ground, but the Giants got killed in games 1 and 2 on the ground. Yep. Kenneth Walker could destroy them in this game. 100%. He absolutely could. I haven't forgotten the Giants' defensive woes. Maybe they've learned, and maybe that won't be a problem, but this could be a real big, Kenneth Walker hitting these outside corners. It could be a real, real problem for the Giants, especially without a guy like Drew Phillips, too, stepping up from the nickel and stopping some of those big runs. So I got to be honest, I'm very worried about the Seattle ground game versus the Giants in this one, too.
You look at every running back the Giants have faced this year. Kenneth Walker is far and away number one on that list.
Right.
Say what you want about Aaron Jones. I think he's washed. I don't think he's the player that he used to be for the Green Bay Packers. Kenneth Walker's in his prime. He's in the prime of his career. 3 touchdowns against the Lions last week. And again, the Lions, not this unbelievable defensive front. They have Aiden Hutchinson. Outside of that, not much else. Either way, Kenneth Walker lit them up. Lit them up, Sean. And the Giants' run defense hasn't been tested. Like, they are going to get tested with Kenneth Walker, because you got somewhat of a committee with Zach Charbonnet too, who's the kind of like the third down back, passing downs back, who's really good as well, and the change of pace back. But Walker is going to eat against the Giants. And unless the Giants are able to get to Geno Smith and look at the stats, Sean.
Yeah.
The Seahawks are a top 3 passing offense in the league. And we discussed the teams they played this year, and it's, Fugazi, whatever. The stats speak for themselves. Geno Smith is still averaging 280 yards per game in the air. So you have to get to the quarterback. That has been the key for the Giants every single game. How many times are we going to talk about it? It just always will, because of how bad their secondary is. They need to get to the quarterback, or else they're going to get lit up. DK Metcalf is unbelievable. Some of the catches he's been making over the course of the season, this guy is easily a top 10 receiver in the league, and he's massive. He's ginormous.
He's a bear for any secondary to handle, but the Giants would have beat up secondary. I almost feel bad for Deontay Banks in this spot, because he's not going to get any help. That's what worries me in this game. Now, I do think, though, that they can get to Geno Smith. I do think that they can. I don't think this is going to be like Seattle comes in here and drops 45 points we go to Seattle. Anything like that. But we're talking about a game where, if the Giants can only meekly get to 19 points again, they're going to make enough plays to get 24, 27 points to Seattle Seahawks. And that's what worries me, especially about Malik Nabers. With Malik Nabers, I think the Giants would be able to move the ball defensively on or offensively on their defense. I really do.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.